Welcome to God's Loving Kindness in the Morning. Let's begin with Martin Luther's morning prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We give thanks to you, Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have protected us through the night from all danger and harm. And we beseech you to preserve and keep us this day also from all sin and evil, that in all our thoughts, words, and deeds we may serve and please you. Into your hands we commend our bodies and souls and all that is ours. Let your holy angels have charge concerning us, that the wicked one have no power over us. Amen. Lots of people have been born on the earth. Many leaders have come and gone. Kings and generals have conquered vast stretches of geography, but even their memories are often lost. What is different about Jesus? How does the Holy Spirit enter into the equation? The answer is simple. God the Father made Jesus special. It is God's Holy Spirit who gives us the understanding to know God. Today's Bible lesson comes from the history of the early church found in Acts. These events take place after Jesus' ascension into heaven on the Mount of Olives. It is after Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was given. It is Simon Peter's first real sermon, and we find it in Acts 2, verse 14 and verses 32 through 41. We see the work of the Holy Spirit in convincing people of their sin and of their need to be right with God. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand, till I make your enemies your footstool.' Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and your children, and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call." And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. So let's begin by looking at what our Heavenly Father has done. We're looking at verses 32 through 36. God has raised Jesus up as Lord and Christ. "What you see is no accident," Peter says. "We saw it ourselves. The current events around us are directly related to God's hand. The world is changing because of God's work. God the Son entered heaven after resurrection. You are the people that killed him, but God wouldn't let that happen forever. Jesus was taken up into heaven, but his ministry to people did not stop there. God the Father gave him the Holy Spirit to give to us. God the Father fulfills prophecy today. No conquering hero has ever gotten into heaven to bring such gifts to mankind. The best Hebrew king, the one whose heart was fully for God, King David himself, never entered heaven to do such a thing. Yet God the Father reveals the man Jesus has entered into heaven through the prophecy coming from King David. 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool.' This is obscured in translation into English. Literally, it says something like this: 'The Lord God, the one we call the Father, said to David's offspring, the human Lord or leader, the offspring is Jesus, be in heaven with me while I undo the power of your enemies and make them serve you.' This is why our Heavenly Father has taken Jesus Christ into heaven. This is why our Heavenly Father and the Son Jesus Christ have conveyed the Holy Spirit to us. We need to recognize what God is doing. God the Father himself made Jesus our leader. The world crucified the Father's Christ. What the world could not do is change the Father's plan for our salvation. Despite all the efforts of Satan and the fallen mankind, Jesus remains the Christ and remains Lord. Peter in today's lesson explains how God is accomplishing what seems impossible to the world. This Jesus God has raised up, he says, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. The Bible explains exactly what God was doing in Jesus Christ. Why don't we get it? Why do we go to a movie like the Da Vinci Code and get so confused when God has laid it out for us, not only in the New Testament, but in the Old Testament as well? The point is this. Our Heavenly Father did not only tell us what he was up to, but he did what he said he was going to do. Jesus Christ was raised from the dead and reigns now in heaven as Lord and Christ. He is busy there in preparation for us. He will return as Lord and Christ and will judge the nations. Well, how is it possible to understand such a cosmic reality? Might it have something to do with the Holy Spirit, do you think? Well, look at verse 37. The Holy Spirit changes hearts with good news of Jesus Christ. It is hard for us to understand how people first received the news of Jesus. Before the gift of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, only one person at a time received the Holy Spirit, or maybe a small group like with Moses and with the leaders in the wilderness. In our times, we take the Holy Spirit for granted. We know that he is active since Pentecost. We know that he is physically present in every believer. We think of baptism because it is connected with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is connected with baptism, but his presence is not dependent on baptism. The Holy Spirit works in the brain and the heart. He sharpens up the synapses of our nervous system. He connects ideas and engrams and parts of our brain. The wisdom and knowledge of God are conveyed by the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit is active, we see spiritual things in new ways, and we understand God in a way that the world does not understand. Those people who heard the first sermon after giving of the Holy Spirit heard God speaking to their hearts. They heard God speaking on the inside. The Bible talks about God's Word able to cut through the flesh and bone of sin and get to the heart. The Holy Spirit's word about Jesus reached right into the hearts of thousands of people that first Pentecost, the birthday of the church. Their spirits became restless when they heard God's word. They knew they could not continue like they were. They knew they could not continue in sin. They sought for options. What was God's will? The Holy Spirit was indeed busy. Jesus explained how the Holy Spirit will work. Listen to this, John 16:8. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. No wonder the Holy Spirit was so sharply perceived that first Pentecost. Now when they heard this, it says, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Hearts got changed. That's the business of the Holy Spirit. Why are hearts dull today? Is there anything a believer can do in sharing Christ if salvation is the work of the Holy Spirit? The point is this. We cannot change our heart. We cannot change somebody else's heart. The heart has to be changed by God. The Holy Spirit works that change by bringing the good news of Jesus Christ, God's gift of salvation to mankind. How does salvation fit in? How is salvation the work of the Holy Spirit? Where is Jesus Christ in the salvation process? Verses 37 through 41 explain. God saves people because of Jesus and his lordship. Peter explains, being saved means acknowledging what our Heavenly Father has done in Jesus Christ. Repent, turn around your life, get baptized, physically commit yourself to Christ. Call on the name of Christ for forgiveness of sins. Acknowledge what God has sent Jesus to do. Allow the Holy Spirit live access to your life. Welcome him into your heart. Being saved is not something brand new. God promised salvation. He promised salvation to Jewish people. He promised salvation to those that were far away from the Jewish people. That's us Gentiles. The promise is to everybody. God calls lots of people. Not everyone answers that call. The call is to be saved. The saved receive God's word and are baptized. We understand adult baptism. Adult baptism is an outward sign of God's love and our acceptance into fellowship with Him. There is no indication that it is we who baptize. That is not our work. Adult baptism is the work of God. We call it God's grace and we name it a sacrament, meaning that in some special way God's holiness enters our lives. When people are baptized, we often see God's holiness working out in the lives of those people. The Bible does not say that belief in baptism and the Holy Spirit are for adults only. The people of the church have baptized infants and children from Pentecostal times. Children can have faith in God just as a little one sometime. Not all children have faith, but many do. Baptism is the mark of having received God's Word and His Holy Spirit. We can go through the actions of baptism, sprinkling or pouring or dunking, but if God's Word is not part of that child's upbringing by godly parents and other adults, the Holy Spirit cannot bring blessing to that young life. Baptism must be connected with God's Word to be effective. We baptize our children because we believe that God's Word, when it is massaged into a child's life, yields saving faith. The historic church has taught this from earliest church times. That is, baptism is God's gift. Baptism is not man's obedience. Blessings in a baptized person come from God, not from our obedience. It is God Himself that is the source of salvation, not what we do. Isaiah 45:22. Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. And we are to be baptized. Mark 16:16. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. That baptism is available to everyone in the whole world. The availability of the Holy Spirit to the whole human race is very special. People understand the goodness of God when they understand the Holy Spirit and God's grace in baptism. Now when the Gentiles heard this, it says, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. One of the earliest texts in the New Testament describes adult and infant baptism. Do you remember that Philippian jailer? Acts 16, verse 27 through 32. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light, ran in, fell down trembling before Paul and Silas, and he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all who were in his house. We can see why those people on the first Pentecost received this word so gladly. Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. The point? Our Heavenly Father saves us through Jesus Christ. The Lordship of Christ is understandable to us only with the work of the Holy Spirit. To understand God's salvation in our lives, we must have the Holy Spirit.
Receive the Lord's benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This morning devotional is brought to you by your friends at Historical Zion Lutheran Church in Silver Hill. We believe that the Lord calls on His people to worship Him and share His word. Zion Lutheran Church is located on the corner of 7th Street and 4th Avenue, one block south of State Highway 104, near the Silver Hill Library. We share the Lord's Supper on the first and third Sundays of the month. Want additional information? Go to our website, www.lutheransinsilverhill.com, or call us at 945-5209. These past days and weeks, Zion Lutheran Church of Silver Hill has been privileged to share God's holy word with you in the morning. As part of the Association of Free Lutheran Congregations, the fourth largest Lutheran denomination in the United States, we support daily Bible reading and prayer. prayer. If you do not have a Bible and would like a complimentary paperback copy of the New King James Version Bible, call us at 945-5209 and give us your name and address or phone number.